From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Welcome to our weekly listener mail segment, where we get to hear directly from you if you're hearing this the evening it comes out. Also, welcome to November 14th, Thanksgiving. Kind of a big deal here in the U.S. is on the way, and we wish everybody hearing this the best, just the absolute best, when you have to hang out with your family members and your loved ones as you go toward that big dinner.
And especially, you know, given divisive times, we know it can be difficult if people at Thanksgiving maybe differ in opinions or politics. So I would posit that maybe just leave politics at home for the Thanksgiving holidays, if at all possible. It'll probably be good for your mental health.
I will add, yeah, that's the point I wanted to get to. We can always feel that we are in a situation where you have to hang out with people. You don't see them all that often. They've got a big info download on stuff that's been going on with them. They want to hear from you. So make sure there's some give and take. Be curious, as Ted Lasso said. Ask them about themselves. You know what I mean? That is the key to a good conversation. We also have an episode from back in the day about how to talk with your relatives over the holidays.
We sure do. I completely forgot about that one. That is a good resource. I haven't listened to it in a minute, but I'm sure we were very smart with all the things we said.
We definitely had our hearts in the right place, and so do all our fellow conspiracy realists. We're going to hear from Wonko the Sane, following up on a conversation we had over a number of years, but in previous Strange News segment as well. We're going to hear from multiple platforms. We'll see how many letters from home we get to. There were a lot. But before we do any of that, we want to return to you yet again with a follow-up on our episode regarding abuse in the Amish community.
Yeah, we sure do. And we will get to that letter after a quick, brief word from our sponsor.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
Finding Facet immediately put us at ease.
Facet's innovative approach to financial planning ensures your money works as hard as you do, enabling members to experience the joys of having your finances in order.
And that makes us Facet for life now, I guess.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
Hey, it's me, Tyler. Bose open earbuds are stylish. The color, the way it looks almost like an earring, you know, so I feel like it could go with anything. My style is very fun. I feel like I always look like I'm on holiday. I just really like playing around with it and tying it to the music. So yeah, I really feel like the music I'm making right now feels like a holiday, so I want to look like it too. Check out Bose.com for more.
What is chronic migraine?
It's 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more. Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. It's not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Ask your doctor about Botox.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Sometimes where a crime took place leads you to answer why the crime happened in the first place. Hi, I'm Sloan Glass, host of the new true crime podcast, American Homicide. In this series, we'll examine some of the country's most infamous and mysterious murders, and learn how the location of the crime becomes a character in the story. Listen to American Homicide on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does your heart long to wander? To discover the deep secrets of coral reefs, explore the wonders of the California coast, and island hop from the Galapagos to Madagascar. Feed your wild heart. Travel the world right here in San Francisco at the California Academy of Sciences. Get tickets at calacademy.org. See penguin feedings, puppet shows, and other live programs daily at the Academy.
And we've returned. And Ben, you're absolutely right. We had a pretty big outpouring of response to the episode on abuse in the Amish community. A lot of them from folks that live in and around parts of the country where there are significant, you know, Amish populations. And that is the case from Don V, who wrote into us with a very respectful and kind, maybe a clarification, not even a correction. I'll just get right to it. Gentlemen, I just got done listening to your episode on the horrific crimes within the Amish community, and I wanted to thank you on a fantastic job covering a little known and quite taboo subject. Thank you very much. I am a builder and welder out here in northeast/central Pennsylvania. And while I myself am not Amish, there are numerous intersecting communities surrounding me, and I deal with them several times a week. I get my lumber from an Amish sawmill. I buy my welding gas from an Amish supplier. The steel yard I go to is Amish, owned and run. You get the idea. The one thing that I think you got slightly wrong is a little quip stuck in a line towards the beginning of the show where it was mentioned that they eschew the trappings of the outside world, including money. And that's where you're a bit off. And I don't recall exactly who said that. It sounds like something I might have said, but really, really appreciate the perspective here. So Don V goes on. The Amish not only don't regard money as evil, they are some of the most hardcore capitalists down to their marrow. Many of them will do just about anything for money. The vast majority of puppy mills being run in Pennsylvania are Amish, including ones that have been busted for breeding and grooming dogs used in dog fighting rings. There is more than one account of Amish barns going up in flames because of an exploding meth lab within. We did talk on the episode about meth production within the Amish community a little bit near the end. What most people would be surprised to learn is the vast majority of Amish men retire millionaires. They buy up enormous swaths of land, including almost entire towns, where they then move others in from other faraway communities so they can vote and install local politicians of their choosing before moving on to another town to do the same. They are extremely shrewd businessmen who hold a shocking amount of wealth and political juice in rural areas. Hope this clears up a few misconceptions about this often misunderstood community. I do have some hilarious stories of cultural divides in my years of dealing with these folks, should you ever get bored and want a good laugh. Take care, guys. Thanks for being realists. Don V. That's very sweet and incredibly informative. I did not know about any of that stuff. And that is the kind of thing that really would be hard to know. And this is kind of probably some of the stuff they don't want you to know, unless you are like Don and doing actual business with them or living in and around those communities.
Mm-hmm. And Don, thank you for taking the time to first check out our show. And thank you for writing in with firsthand experience, which we always love. We also want to give a shout out to some other folks, including the Brock Ness Monster, who wrote in regarding the puppy mill phenomena that you pointed out there, Don. It is fascinating because we're looking at the interaction between a in-group and a out-group, the plain or the English or however the non-Amish may be referred to, still do business. They still live in a larger community. You know, you can buy Amish furniture online. A lot of people in Amish communities do have checking accounts, right? Do have credit cards, do use U.S. currency here in the United States to interact with the secular world. So it makes sense. Oh, sense. It makes dollars and sense, we should say, that there will be people in those communities who are able to reach financial success.
Think about how much money the average person, let's say middle class, somewhere in the middle class.
Yes.
No, I mean, really.
No, I know.
I buy cow poop all the time. Yeah, I am 100%. Super bullish.
The Amish just make their own cow poop from all the cows.
But super bullish on cow poop.
I'm with you immediately, Matt. Please. I'm so sorry to interrupt. You've got me excited.
No, no. I just think about recurring expenses that, you know, now there are companies making millions and millions of dollars. And all they do is point out your recurring payments on your credit card that you forgot about. You know, like we've read ads for companies that do that. And just, you know, I think about the stuff that's in my house right now. That's all like my hobbies or something to do with electronics or gaming or movies. And it's just if I personally could eliminate that stuff from my life.
Yeah.
My goodness, I would be a much wealthier man.
I see what you're saying. We also, that brings up a related point, which is that oftentimes people spend their income or their largesse on status symbols, right, within their community. And so the status symbols, perhaps the folks in the Amish community, may differ from those in the surrounding secular communities. Like if you're not going to suffer the death of 1,000 streaming cuts out of your income every month, where does your money go? Look, just because someone has a different socio-religious ideology or lens through which they interact with the world, that never makes them stupid. That just means they have different priorities from, you know, someone else. So there's nothing stopping people from investing in property, right? To your point, Don, to maybe farm implements, horses, both of which can be very expensive. Ran very lucrative. That's a great point, Noel. And maybe even depending on, because these communities are not monolithic, right? Some are more permissive in how the secular community interacts. So maybe there are some folks who made a bank off stocks and mutual funds.
But sure. they're likely, you're not going to see anybody rolling around in a Maserati in an Amish community. Not. Maybe
whatever, like the Maserati version of a horse.
Yeah, but that would just be for function, just to have one that would last a long time, you know, to have one that was well built. You'd be investing in the right things. And I think there's some lessons we could learn from the Amish, to your point, Matt, about how to like live a little more frugally and ultimately, you know, be more fruitful in the long term.
I'm seeing two things here, guys. The first one is that if my hobbies weren't going around getting souls in a Dark Souls game or whatever, and I'm, you know, and playing drums and all that, these other things that are more entertainment hobbies for me, I could see. And if I didn't leave my like local area very often, I could totally see myself getting into like, well, there is some land over there and I could save up enough money for that. And I wonder if I could use that land for something. Oh, hey, maybe I need to get in with the local commissioners. Maybe we should actually work on local elections and start doing that stuff. And the second thing I see here is we're talking raw materials for construction that are being pointed out here, right? Steel, lumber, and welding gas.
Yes.
Those are crazy lucrative because any of these other companies that want to come through and build things can get their supplies from you. It's brilliant.
So too. Oh man, thank you so much, Don V, for that perspective. I think it's something that really clicked with all three of us. So I don't know, Ben, did you have anything else to add before we go to a little quick break?
If you are a member, current or former, of an Amish community or some related belief system, we would love to hear from you directly. We will tell you how to get to us online or through any other method of communication at the end of tonight's listener mail segment. So please stay tuned. And again, as you said, Noel, thank you so much to Dawn V, and thank you to everybody who wrote in or otherwise contacted us regarding these experiences. Also, if you're one of the folks from the Mennonite community I used to mess with in Guatemala, I hope you guys are okay. I hope the bakery is still open. That place was awesome.
Lovely Mennonite community in my hometown of Augusta, Georgia, and a great bakery. Absolutely wonderful little ham roll things. Well, let's take a quick pause for the cause that keeps the lights on here, and we'll come back with another message from you.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Whenever a homicide happens, two questions immediately come to mind. Who did this and why? And sometimes the answer to those questions can be found in the where the crime happened. I'm journalist Sloan Glass, and I host the new podcast, American Homicide. Each week, we'll explore some of this country's most infamous and mysterious murders. And you'll learn how the location of the crime became a character in the story. On American Homicide, we'll go coast to coast and visit places like the wide-open New Mexico desert, the swampy Louisiana bayou, and the frozen Alaska wilderness. And we'll learn how each region of the country holds deadly secrets. So join me, Sloan Glass, on the new true crime podcast, American Homicide. Listen to American Homicide on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the quiet town of Avella, Pennsylvania, Jared and Christy Akron seemed to have it all. A whirlwind romance, a new home, and twins on the way. What no one knew was that Christy was hiding a secret so shocking it would tear their world apart.
911 response, what's your emergency?
My babies, please, my babies!
One woman, two lives, and the truth more terrifying than anyone could imagine.
They had her as one of the suspects, but they could never prove it.
You're going to go to jail if you don't come with us right now.
Throughout this whole thing, I kept telling myself, nobody's that crazy.
Uncover the chilling mystery that will leave you questioning everything. A story of the lengths we go to protect our darkest secrets.
She went batshit crazy, shot and killed all her farm animals. Slaughtered them in front of the kids. Tried to burn their house down.
Audio Up presents The Unborn on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Curious about investing in crypto and not sure where to start? Start with Grayscale. They have over a decade of experience focused on this emerging asset class. In fact, Grayscale operates over 20 different crypto investment products, offering investors plenty of choice when it comes to diversifying into crypto. Even better, many of their products are available right in your investment account. Give it a try. Search for a Grayscale product ticker today. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. For more information and important disclosures, visit grayscale.com.
The holidays are right around the corner, and that means Black Friday ads are going to start popping up. Like this one for Roborock. Listen, do yourself a favor and take a break from cleaning during the holiday season and beyond. Get yourself a Roborock to do the hard work for you. From vacuuming to mopping, there's a product for everyone. And now you can save up to 67% or $700. Visit Roborock.com or Amazon to get your Roborock today.
And we've returned. Guys, we've got a doozy. And by doozy, I mean a very deep topic that I don't think we're going to be able to handle in this 15 minutes. So let's imagine perhaps making a full episode on this specific topic, because it goes deep. And there's a twist in here that we're going to get to that I think is the reason for a lot of the forward-facing response to what we're going to talk about. So, with all that said, let's listen to a message we received from Wonko.
Hi, this is Wonko the Sane.
Long-time listener, first time ever calling or writing into you guys. And you guys were talking about the ban of Chinese software and hardware. And I just wanted to point out that China has already managed to infiltrate our pipeline. If you look up, I believe it was Wired who had a fantastic episode about it, a little microchip smaller than the size of the tip of a pencil that was basically able to take complete control of massive numbers of servers. We're talking governments, we're talking Apple, we're talking Microsoft. They had this tiny little chip on all of these main boards that essentially allowed them to duplicate and copy any data they wanted. They could take control at any time. So as far as Chinese-made software and hardware, you never know when the next attack is going to come through. And they were listening in on embassies. They were listening in on virtually every aspect of tech. They had their fingers in there pretty deep. So as far as the ban is concerned, long before the ban on Chinese hardware or software really comes into play, we need to reevaluate our pipelines as far as where our hardware comes from and actually start to build things in country. Anyways, just my two thoughts on the ban and potential ban anyways, and how little a ban would have effect if we ignore our pipelines. Anyways, you guys have great episodes. Hope you have a good one. Thanks.
Thank you, Wonko.
Wait a minute. So that, yes, thank you. So that chip is, this is like industrial espionage, or this is like part of existing hardware and people, and it is known. Like it's already happened.
Yeah, it goes deep and it goes back in time to 2018. Mm. So at least that's when we found out about it, because Bloomberg started talking about it. And this is important. The publication, the outfit, Bloomberg, they did their own investigation, and then it created a bunch of other writing about this investigation. You can go directly to the Bloomberg source if you want to. We'll go ahead and tell you that so you can learn about this as well. You will have to, I think, subscribe or get one of those things, you know, sign up for whatever to read the article. It is titled "The Big Hack: How China Used a Tiny Chip to Infiltrate U.S. Companies." It was written by Jordan Robertson and Michael Riley on October 4th, 2018. It's a huge piece, a big old feature. And then what we're going to do, just because it's what was mentioned by Wonko the Sane there, and yes, thank you so much for this, Wonko. We're going to go to Wired, because they then wrote about it on October 4th. Lily Hay Newman wrote about it. So we're going to jump to that article.
In the same year, right?
Same year. Yeah, same time. So like I said, Bloomberg starts the waterfall and then Wired catches it. So that's where we're going right now. Wired's article is titled, "There's No Good Fix If the Supply Chain Gets Hacked."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to read a little bit from this to answer your question, Noel, because I guess we can just say at the top before we get into it, this tiny little microchip that Wonko is describing is an extra microchip, like an extra CPU type situation that is applied to a motherboard. I think we're all familiar with what a motherboard is.
Sure.
It's the larger piece of silicon that has a bunch of the components.
Printed circuit kind of situation.
It's a printed circuit that components get plugged into.
That's right.
Right. And then that operates your computer or your server, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would have a bunch of these in a huge array. If you're talking about somebody like Apple or Microsoft, as Wonko mentioned, or Amazon. So here we go. These are Lily's words. "A major report from Bloomberg describes an infiltration of the hardware supply chain allegedly orchestrated by the Chinese military that reaches an unprecedented geopolitical scope and scale, and may be a manifestation of the tech industry's worst fears, if the details are correct." That's important, because it's if Bloomberg's investigation is correct. "It could be a nearly impossible mess to clean up." So let's just get into this. The chips that we're talking about here are from a US-based company called Supermicro Computer Inc., also known as Supermicro. This is a San Jose-based company. The reason why we're talking about, well, you heard me say it's a US-based company, right?
Right.
But
they assemble things from other places into end-user products.
Exactly. So again, just use the Boeing example, because in my mind, it's the easiest thing in my mind to see, like the parts of a plane that get manufactured in a bunch of places then come together at one place and become an airplane. same thing.
Or like that middleman company involved in the exploding pagers story.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or like for another thing that will be familiar to people, the way that an article of clothing can say made in the USA, even
yes.
if the origin materials are not indeed from the United States.
And made with slave or child labor. Woo! Okay, so here we go. This is back to Lily's words. Cybersecurity experts often describe supply chain attacks as worst-case scenarios because they taint products or services at the time of their creation. The Bloomberg report raises a much more alarming specter that Chinese government actors compromised 4 subcontractors of that Super Microcomputer Inc. to hide these tiny microchips on Supermicro boards. So the official boards that Supermicro is putting out, and those things are crazy popular, guys, mm-hmm. with the big companies and with small companies and medium companies. They are just one of the big players. If you imagine going out to buy a new phone, right now in your mind, you're probably thinking an Apple phone, a Samsung phone, a Google phone, mm-hmm. right? Those are like the 3. And then there's a bunch of other stuff you could go to Micro Center to get or order online. Supermicro is one of these companies if you're buying server arrays.
Yes.
These chips, according to Bloomberg, offered a fundamental backdoor into the devices they were hidden in, ultimately helping the Chinese government access the networks of more than 30 U.S. companies, including Apple and Amazon, and they could use them to gather intelligence on plans, communications, and intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why the Bloomberg investigation is a bit called into question here. As soon as this came out, right, as soon as this news hit, and even before, because these big companies like Apple and Amazon were reached out to before publication, those big companies refuted this report completely. They said, no, this is not true. This did not happen. This they have never found any evidence that anything like this has ever occurred. There's no attack on our infrastructure. Everything's good. We're good. There are no malicious chips. Here's a quote. Apple has never found malicious chips, hardware manipulations, or vulnerabilities purposefully planted in any server.
Cool.
Okay, sure. So then, of course, it's on the journalists there at Bloomberg. And on for them, they either have to say, hey, that's our bad. We'll retract parts of our report or something like that. That is not what they did. Those journalists said, no, we've done our due diligence. We've verified everything before we publish the story. We know it happened. And it's true. And the companies were like, no, it's not. And then it just becomes, okay, who do you believe? The investigative journalists or and like private investigators and people who are actually, you know, getting quotes from individuals from within some of the operations.
And the independent white hats who also yes. confirmed it.
Yes. Or do you listen to the big corporation that has a lot to lose? If like, think about what we're talking about here.
Mm.
Apple servers, Amazon servers, just those two companies.
Right.
What does Amazon own? Amazon Web Services. What types of information do they run through their servers? All of it.
All of the things.
Most of it. Yeah. I mean, same with Apple, right? And and with personal information that you back up in the cloud. Massive deal. But guys, here's where it gets crazy. And this is where I think we end the segment because this is what we need to explore in full. A couple of years later, after all of this was reported, more information came out and it got weirder. Guys, it got weirder.
Can I talk about it? Well, we'll hold it for an episode.
We can hold it for an episode. Okay, but let's say this. More details came out in like 2021. But I think the wrinkle and why this is such a massive deal is because one of the journalists who wrote this article went on All Things Considered. It's an NPR show on the day. Basically on October 4th, when all of this is coming out. And he made the statement, which is also included in the Bloomberg article, but he made the statement that the chip was also found in servers of the Pentagon and the CIA.
What?
Which would, might be a problem. I don't know. Maybe.
and just last month, the FBI got that court order through.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Spoilers, folks.
Dude, there's stuff that we got to dig in.
Yeah. Wonko the Sane, thank you again. Yeah, this is an episode. We should go ahead and do it because it's just going to get stranger the longer we we hold off on it.
Agreed. Wonko, you're the best. We will be right back with more messages from you.
And we have returned with just some letters from home. No, I mentioned in a previous program, we would share stories of some fellow conspiracy realists in the education space. We are going to share those in the future. And speaking of hardware and software and the interaction with the human mind, we have a quick letter from home from our pal Flounder. Flounder, thank you so much for calling. And also Matt, thank you for hurting the voicemails. Here we go. A quick reaction to a statement I made earlier asking why there isn't more positive social media.
Gentlemen, good morning. Your most recent episode, you made the comment that how come we do not have a positive social media app? I think the problem is the word social. The problem is us. People are what makes it bad, not the technology. The call is coming from inside the house. You can call me Flounder. That's spelled with a PH.
Oh, Flounder, you told us how to spell it. Ah, burn the persona. The handle is compromised. But also, that is a pretty good point, is it not? I think that we use that as, you know, I said that was kind of a throwaway thing in the conversation. We didn't talk too much about it, but we did hit on the idea, right? Like, it seems that the we're in a chicken and egg situation. Is the algorithm pushing you toward things? Arguable, or is the algorithm showing you things that just exacerbate your natural inclinations? What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's the things that we become fascinated by, the things that are pleasurable to view, the thing. Yeah, it's all of those things that, no, it is us. I'm sorry. I keep thinking just that idea.
It's a pickle, isn't it?
It's so many pickles. Dancing around.
My algorithm is just pickles. It's pickles and this one-armed monkey from China. And it's driving me crazy. Xingqing, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. You were perfect on it. That's great. Everybody look up Xingqing.
Have you seen that one about the pickle ice cream? No, thank you, sir. No, thank you.
Ooh, but I bet it's kind of salty.
Yeah. Okay. What about the pickle juice in Dr. Pepper? That's a big online trend. I'm sorry. We're not talking about actual pickle stuff.
Dude, pickle juice ever since Hannibal? I flick pickle juice on
Yeah, that. Yeah. Get up there. We're talking about Hannibal Buress, the legendary comedian.
The late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter. Is who I thought.
Hannibal Lecter would also vibe with that if you told him, hey, man, before you kill me, quick pro tip on the sandwiches, just fling a little pickle juice on my innards when you eat them. And Hannibal would be like, thank you.
Yeah, man. Credit where it's due. I buy those devil's spit pickles that you can find at your local pickle dealer, and they are so hot and delicious, and you can use that juice on anything.
And I would say further that algorithms, while they may just exacerbate natural tendencies of the participant, there are definite moves on social media platforms to push you toward certain beliefs. And it's very difficult to be cognizant of those pushes because they're pretty subtle. For anybody who was still messing around with Facebook in this evening and age, you'll notice that the bulk of your feed has now become advertisements. I don't know why I'm saying that like I don't speak English.
Advertisements.
Advertisement. We send to you a pickle dance. So they've been sending that around. Also, AI posts are proliferating, and often they are meant to learn more about you and steer you toward certain decisions, which is why, for instance, if you go to Twitter, oh, I didn't tell you guys, almost texted you, it wasn't important enough. Did you know there's a war on Wikipedia right now on the Twitter page about how Wikipedia has decided they're not going to call it X?
What?
Okay, they're going to die on that hill, huh?
That's the hill they chose out of all the other stuff. Forget the Middle East. They're fighting about Twitter. If you go to the talk tab on the Twitter entry for Wikipedia, you'll see that it's a bunch of people trying to update it to X, and then a bunch of other people saying, nah, player.
That's really funny.
Unfortunately, they're slapping it down. We are going to keep it brief here. As many of our fellow American conspiracy realists may well understand, we've got a lot of stuff going on right now. We've got many things to do, but we did want to do something I thought all five of us would enjoy. Tennessee and Noel and Matt and yours truly and you listening at home. What if we give somebody a little bit of travel advice? Does that sound jolly good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I give him some travel advice? My son and I are obsessed with this travel Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting the social media thing in, and it is travel. Mm-hmm. It's called Unlikely Gems. Have you guys ever seen this?
No. Before? Heard of, but I don't think I follow that one, unless it has Jing Jing, the one-armed monkey, on it.
No, it does not. It does not.
But I'm missing out. All right. But I feel like I have seen this, but I don't know much about it.
Well, check it out specifically on Instagram. That's where I saw it, at least. It's called Unlikely Gems. I do not know the name of this human being that is one of my favorite human beings in the world right now. It's like a reporter doing the field, but with a very specific cadence. And he does things like this and mm-hmm. says that. And he just he goes to these places across California and points out like a small rock that happens to be in a very specific place or a stop sign. And it is delightful. I cannot do it justice here, but I just found out it's a part of the Upstate California Creative Corps. Like, it's a grant program for California's tourism stuff.
Good. I like that. Whoops. That's smart. That doesn't make it necessarily bad, nor inherently sinister.
Ah, dang. Okay. I don't think so. Just head over to Modoc County. That's all I know.
All right. Could you spell it for us?
M-O-D-O-C.
There we go. Not to be confused with the absolute legend from Marvel Comics.
That's right.
Right. So our letter from home here, going back to you, our listener, we're just going to call you DuPont Dave. You wrote to us earlier this weekend and you said, hey, longtime listener, first time emailing or even contacting you all. Later this month, I'm planning a trip to Washington, D.C. I was wondering if you all have any suggestions to go to, restaurants, bars, attractions. I'm planning on going to the International Spy Museum and one or two Smithsonian's, also museums in the area. If you happen to be in DC, regardless of where you're from, you're going to dig the Aerospace Museum. Promise. Anyway, DuPont Dave says, was hoping you all know any more fun or even educational spots. And I thought this would be an opportunity for us to really let the rubber hit the road when we say listener mail is focused on our fellow conspiracy realists. We know DC. We've all been to DC, right? Never lived there, but we visited.
I haven't been a ton, and I've said it before. I've never been to any of the Smithsonian's, so I'm right there with you asking for Rex. I haven't experienced a ton of DC at all.
Dude, what you need to do right now is reserve a Pentagon tour, because they offer them, you can get them, and you can tour the Pentagon.
Yes, and I love that, Matt. You may have just enough time to do so. Also, you have to report back, okay? This is a covenant, DuPont Dave. by hearing this, you have just shaken some hands, right? So to Matt's point, further on Matt's point, there's a place called DuPont Underground. It's an abandoned train station. It used to be pretty difficult to get inside. You would have to just know the right people to go to this abandoned trolley station below DuPont Circle. But now it's a pretty cool art exhibit spot. Like, dude, now you can walk through this abandoned area and you're almost guaranteed to see some amazing art.
Dude. Hey guys, can you guess the date? Not the year, but the month and day when ground was broken on construction of the Pentagon. Just a wild guess. What month and day?
Oh, geez. Is it 6/6?
Ground was broken on September 11th.
Oh, no.
1941.
I thought you were going for more of like a diabolical numerology kind of situation.
No.
Just 41 is interesting.
Just a weird coincidence. That's all.
It's a little weird. Don't know. I
mean, it's a 1 out of 360 something chance.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But that is a big, it's a lot different from guessing someone's zodiac sign. You know what I mean? we still haven't done an astrology episode. Let us know if that feels like it bags your badgers. We also want to recommend for you, DuPont Dave, we want to recommend things like, well, it depends on what you go for and how you're feeling. If you want something peaceful, there's a really kick-ass bonsai museum, the National Bonsai Museum. I think one of the oldest trees there, if it's still alive, dates back to the 17th century, early 17th century. I still have no idea how bonsai can live that long. You guys remember the movie The Exorcist?
Yeah. Guys, I recall it vaguely. Yes. Yes. Also, yes. The Karate Kid Part 2. There's bonsai trees in that one. That's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. We're back.
Yeah. We're back. The Exorcist, no spoilers, folks. It is one of the scariest films. If you recall, there is a pivotal moment where a protagonist encounters some stairs. Those stairs are in Washington, D.C. You can see them. It is an historic landmark. I feel like you have to very much care about The Exorcist to go out of your way to look at some stairs.
I'm a bit of a pop culture stair tourist. You know, I've been to the ones in Philly that Rocky exercised. I have seen them, but I think that could be fun. Someone should put together a list of historical and or pop culturally important stairs.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I agree. You can also, if you're feeling kind of creepy, you can go to a facsimile catacomb complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, cast your memory back. It's the sometime in the early 1900s. You're a bunch of Franciscan monks, and you say, we need to show people the Holy Land, but a lot of folks can't afford to get over the Atlantic and visit that area. So if they can't afford the trip overseas, what do? We make it at home. We have catacombs at home.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. So they do have a papal endorsement. They do have a very real skeleton in there. It's over at 1400 Quincy Street Northeast. I don't know if it's kind of a tourist trap, I think, but I like catacombs. I think catacombs are cool. They feel like home, you know?
And while you're in the catacombs, do yourself a favor and look for some old currency that is no longer functional. Because, guys, in Washington, D.C., at 14th and C Streets, you can find the mutilated currency division.
Finally.
And you can go walk up and say, hey, can I check this out?
We also have to recommend, they'll probably just be interested that you're interested. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Exactly.
We can also recommend, look, even the stuff that sounds like it's very on the map and it's very touristy, we promise you a lot of it is amazing, right? There's a certain, it doesn't matter whether or not you're from the U.S., there's a certain gravitas and grandeur to the construction of the city, to the monuments and edifices that have been built there. One of the ones that I think always interested us were the Freemason complex, and of course, the Washington Monument, which started out as something that looked way more understandable and ended up being an obelisk.
Dude. I wanted to ask you guys, is this just a fake thing, the idea that the Washington Monument was built around an old tree? That's just a myth, right? The quote, special tree?
I haven't heard about that.
I do like the pun of special tea, special tree, but I wasn't on scene when they were building it, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, you were around, you just weren't there. But I think it's a TikTok thing, or you know, one of those like creepypasta things, like this idea that there's this mythical tree with special powers that the monument was built around.
I like that. And
isn't that a cool story? Yeah.
We do love a Washington legend. We also recommend that you check out the Washington National Cathedral. There is a crypt there that has the marble tomb of Woodrow Wilson. Also Helen Keller's ashes are interred in the area. It's a nice way to encounter history. There's so much stuff to do. You cannot throw a stone or a bouncy ball without hitting something really cool that you should check out in Washington, D.C. I almost said DEAC because I just remembered, you guys, the DEA has a small museum in their lobby. And one of the weirdest things they have is their exhibit of bongs.
What?
Cool. Yeah. Tell me more.
Right, right. Ah, now I got you back in. Yeah,
oh, man, man, I was in the whole time. You were talking about stairs.
Right. They have a, I think it's back open now, closed temporarily in 2019, but years have passed. So if you're cool and you're comfortable visiting the DEA, you could check out their museum. As a matter of fact, a lot of those agencies in DC and in Virginia have little, like, at home museums you can visit.
Dude. And when you get a little hungry and you want a slice of pizza, maybe we recommend Comet Ping Pong.
Yes. That's funny, Matt. Check out the basement.
Right. No, sorry. We're joking. Sorry. But it is on Connecticut Avenue, though.
And we do hope that you report back. Furthermore, we hope that any of our fellow conspiracy realists residing in the area have their own recommendations. So please send them to us. What are the hidden parts of DC, caveat, that a normal person can visit without getting in trouble? We would love to hear more. We know it's a very interesting time to visit the nation's capital. It's just true. But there is amazing history here, and you will not regret checking out any of the weird things we just recommended. So tell us your thoughts. Thank you to everybody who wrote in. We can't wait to hang out with you on the air later in a future evening. We have so many explorations ahead. We want you to be part of the team. So join up with the cause. You can find us via email. You can find us on the phone. You can even reach out to us online.
That's right. We exist at the handle conspiracy stuff all over the internet on various platforms of note, including Facebook, where we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy, on X, FKA Twitter, as well as on YouTube, where you can find video content galore to enjoy. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Hey, do you want to call us? Call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's our voicemail system. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. Before calling, go ahead and put that in as a contact on your phone, just in case it calls you back. Because it might. If you got more to say than can fit in a 3-minute voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back, and sometimes we'll just answer the email on air. But we owe you a bit of correspondence. We love it when you send us the links, send us the leads, take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. We will do the rest. Thank you so much for joining us on air. So we'll see you on the emails out there in the dark. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.